This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello everyone. It is August 9th, and I can't believe we're already in August and the summer is almost completed, but my name is Patricia W. Fisher, and I'm here for Readers Entertainment Radio, and it's a very cool day to have a radio show because it is Book Lovers Day, and I know that there's plenty of people out there that have their favorite books, their top five, top ten, even their favorite book, so I'll be thinking about that today and post a review or a thank you to the author online if you can, because that's the ultimate thank you for a writer who's poured their heart and soul into a book, and so we always appreciate a great big thank you. But today we are talking to a fabulous author who I can say is a friend of mine. Her name is Miss Sylvie Martin, and she lives in San Diego, California, with her hubby, Rich Amui, who has been on the show before, and their recent addition to their family, Tara, their mini golden doodle, who was born this year, and she is very cute. You should see her on Facebook and Twitter. She has posted. When she's not writing, Sylvie is a full-time Spanish teacher, is also fluent in French. She's traveled all over, living in England, Africa, Europe, and finally we got the great fortune to have her in the United States. The Post Girl is Sylvie's debut contemporary romance novel, book one of the Coronado Island series. She also has a second book out, The News Girl, and her third book of the series is coming soon this fall, The City Girl. You can find her on her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon. So welcome to the show, Sylvie. How are you today?
Thank you, Patricia. I am fine. And let me tell you, I love your voice. You sound great on the radio.
Sylvie, we just spent some time together at the Romance Writers of America conference. And so
this is probably a side of her. Oh, yeah, you sound so good. And I love your accent. Your lack of accent, by the way.
Right. Well, it's hard sometimes because I don't hear it. But, you know, when I go other places, I hear it more. So I try to tone down the Texas drawl a little bit. So the cool part about it is I got to learn something new about you today when I was reading through your bio. So you have always been a reader, and that's been fostered by your parents, correct?
Oh, yes. My parents were always reading, and I was one of those kids. Like when I was like 9 or 10, I remember I have read all of my books, and I could read a book in one day. My mom told me, slow down, please, because I cannot buy you a book every day. So I started going through my parents' library, and at the end of 10, I was reading Kafka, Freud, and all those adult, mature books that I quite didn't understand, but I read them anyway.
Yeah, Kafka is a little convoluted even as an adult. Yeah. And then you got this incredible, your father taught in Africa. What part of Africa?
We were in Western Sahara on the coast.
Okay.
It was beautiful, I remember. And then Northern Africa, like in Morocco. Then they moved to Portugal. My father has been very adventurous too.
Yes.
Then they asked me, why are you moving so far? And I said, okay, I got a good example.
Exactly. So when you were in Africa, how long were you there?
Okay, I was there in Africa until I was almost 9 years old, and then we moved back to Spain. So I did my elementary school in 6 or 7 different schools, which was kind of hard for me at that time, but that made me very, very flexible. I could adapt fast and make friends fast, and the sad part was to say goodbye to people I was attached to move on and meet new people.
But it also, you know, as you're writing your stories too, it gave you this wonderfully rich canvas to paint your stories. Mm-hmm. So your father taught math.
I like people.
Right.
Yeah,
and so your father taught math in a Spanish school in West Africa. What language in that area was the primary language?
Well, it was Arabic. And my mom has recordings of me singing with other girls in Arabic, something that I completely forgot through the years. But I could speak Spanish and Arabic at some point. Then I forgot.
Wow. Okay. And were you able to continue that once you guys moved to Portugal?
No, because when my parents moved to Portugal, I was already in college, so I stayed in Spain. And I went to Portugal,
okay.
and I visited mostly, but I didn't live there with them.
So you've got this wonderfully rich, you know, you speak English, Spanish, French, correct?
An Italian.
An Italian. And that plays into your stories, like your very first, your debut novel. I mean, it plays into that because your heroine is flustered with talking with this gentleman she sees on her route, and yet he comes in looking for a Spanish tutor or a French tutor, correct?
Yes, he is, and she works in a language school, so yeah, I guess that subconsciously was there, and I just included that
And so that's The Post Girl by Sylvie Martin, and it's the first book of the Coronado Islands novel series. So tell me a little bit about this book.
Oh, this book is very special to me because I came to San Diego for the first time in my life in the year 2012, and I totally fell in love with the city. And then we went to Coronado, and I was like, oh, this is paradise. I was fascinated. There was something that made me feel so alive there. And I thought I had to write a story that takes place here. It was like 2 years later, walking in Coronado, we passed by Alameda Street, a house that was on sale, and I got the whole story figured out in like 1 minute. I mean, the main things. And that totally inspired me to write this postgirl, because I imagine a postgirl, just delivering letters and falling in love with a guy who was right by the window all the time, and she didn't know who he was or anything, and she was very shy, and that's how it started.
I mean, it's a very sweet story. And something, you know, we always think about that, about people watching, and then you put it to paper. So tell me more about, we'll go back a little bit. You studied in London, and then you ended up in the United States, lucky for us, in all places, Galveston, Texas. What had you heard about the United States before you came?
Well, all kind of things, but I was totally into England. I spent all my summers there because I have a master's in English. Believe it or not, I know my accent can, like, say, oh, really? But I write better than I speak. And I was fascinated with English literature, so I spent all my summers there doing research in the library, the university. Then I was totally into England. I saw myself living in London or anywhere in England in the future. But then
sure.
I studied French, and I started going to France, and I fell in love with France too. So the U.S., it was because I was teaching in Spain. I was like my first years of teaching, and they were recruiting teachers with masters to teach in the U.S. They were the native speakers. And I passed the selection process, and I got a position in Galveston, Texas, because they wanted to look for a place for me that was not similar to Malaga, which is a coastal city. Malaga is more like San Diego,
right.
But they didn't want to put me like somewhere far from the ocean. And that
okay.
was it. I went to Galveston for 2 years, and it's been 18 now.
Wow. And then you ended up in San Jose.
Yeah, because
correct.
I made a lot of friends there. I'm friends in Houston, and one of my friends lived in Mountain View, California. So I came here to visit and saw San Francisco, the Bay Area, the diversity, the restaurant, and I said, wow, I could live here. And I decided to sell my house in Galveston, find a job, get credentials, start all over. And it happened. In 2006, I moved to San Jose, where I met my hubby, my destiny, my love. And we fell in love, and then together we moved to San Diego last summer.
Well, I mean, Well, and tell me a little bit about that, because, you know, everybody loves the happily ever after. And so tell me how you met your husband and how that influences your writing of romance novels.
Well, this is a very romantic story, actually. I love to talk about it. there was one summer in 2008 that I decided to take creative writing classes at Stanford. And I was determined to start my first book, that is a memoir that it hasn't been published, but I have a memoir there. And that summer I stayed, I was studying, I was writing, I was very motivated, and my husband was learning Spanish. Just, I don't know where, 2 years before that, he decided to learn Spanish. Nobody speaks Spanish in his family. And he met with a group for conversation at a Starbucks. And they invited natives to go help, talk to them, just as guidance. And I was in an Italian chatting group that I attended in another place. And I said, oh, this group, poor people, they need somebody. Okay, I'll go, I'll help. I felt kind of like motivated to help. And that's how we met, at a Starbucks, because he was learning Spanish. But the thing, the amazing thing about this is that that Starbucks was close to my school, my high school. And the reason why I went there is because I knew where the Starbucks was, because I get lost all the time. In every city, I get lost. I'm so bad with maps and directions and things. And he lived really close to my high school. And we happened to be going to the same Starbucks, not that, but another one, for 4 years almost, the same Starbucks, both of us, every day. So for sure we crossed paths, for sure. And we met. It wasn't love at first sight, to be honest, but I liked his personality and his sense of humor, and he liked dogs, and I had a dog, so we started going together on hikes with my dog, so the excuse was the dog. Then we discovered we both love romantic comedies, the same movies, and he liked to write. And I said, wow, you like to write, me too. That's why I'm taking creative writing classes. And he said, well, I write scripts. And I said, scripts, but what are the chances that somebody reads your script? Why don't you write a novel? He said, oh, I don't know. Why don't you take classes and see how it goes? So he said, okay, I can do that. And he enrolled at Stanford and started writing short stories. And one of his short stories I fell in love with, and that became his first novel, 5 minutes late, because I love it so much that I said, you need to give me a full story here. And then he made it into a book, and now he has 12 novels.
Wow.
So, yeah, yeah, we've been motivating each other, and really my happily ever after started, and it's still not over. Like we've been married for 8 years, and we are so happy, and we have so much fun together that it's amazing.
Well, I can attest to that because you guys are always fun to see together, and you always have lovely things to say about each other and extremely encouraging. So I always love seeing you guys. If you are just now tuning in to Readers Entertainment Radio, we are talking to author Sylvie Martin. She is the author of The Post Girl, The News Girl, and The City Girl. So The City Girl is coming out this fall. So tell me about this new story.
Okay, this new story, if you start from the beginning, you can read any book independently. But The City Girl has one character that is a secondary character in my first novel. And the reason why I wrote this novel is because some of my readers and friends who read my first novel told me, Joe needs his story. Joe needs his story. And at the beginning, Joe was a secondary character, funny, sweet, but I never thought about making him into a hero. But
isn't that interesting when isn't that interesting when your readers write to you and say, please give this character a happily ever after? You know, that character speaks to them so much. Yeah.
It is. I was fascinated because for me, my characters are real people. Every time I go to Coronado, even now, I expect to see Eric or Julie of my first novel or Alex, and I look at the places that I mentioned, so many restaurants and coffee shops and places that are real. They are all real. And I go there and I see my characters. Like, I believe myself for a moment that they are real.
Right.
But my readers do the same, and they ask me, I want to know more about Joe. I want to see what happens to Joe. And I said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. So Joe is my hero. And Leah Ross, the heroine, she's somebody who appears in the second story in The News Girl, but only like she's mentioned because she's the granddaughter of the hero's neighbor. And he doesn't like her. And he thinks she's a horrible person. And Then she shows up. That's how it starts, because the poor woman next door dies and she inherits the house. So she can't stop.
Yeah.
She wants to flip the house, sell it, and I'm out of here, because she's a city girl. She lives in San Francisco. But,
right,
of course, destiny will want something else for her.
Wow. And so it all gets kind of convoluted because, because things change.
Oh, yeah. And my second novel, The News Girl, actually, it was me. I like my secondary character, the best friend of the hero in my first novel, Alex. I like him so much that I said, okay, I need to write about Alex.
Yeah.
So Alex was my hero in my second novel. And Joe's sister is a heroine. So Joe has been in the first and second a little more prominent role, because he is the brother of the heroine. And then in the third novel, finally, he has his big role as a hero.
So do you think that there's other secondary characters that people have written to you and said, please write about this? Are you going to keep going with your different series?
Actually, yes. I was thinking to have this series, like my first series, as a short one with three novels. But even though I'm considering starting a next series right after, and I have thought about setting it somewhere over here near San Diego as well, some people are asking me about a secondary character in the first novel as well, but it's a younger character. And
okay.
I also thought about that. It's a teacher at the language school. His name is Paul, and he's a very interesting guy, very, very nice, sweet, but I don't say much about him. He's a very supportive character of the heroine in the first book, but people like him. The thing is that I will have to write my fourth novel, if I do, having a hero and a heroine a little younger, because the heroine would be somebody who appears first and second as well as a very, very secondary character, is the sister of Julie's sister. Julie is the heroine in the first book, and she's just in college. So, I don't know. They will be a little younger. They will be in their 20s. And I don't know if I'm going to do that. Maybe I will. But I'm planning on starting a new series.
So can you tell us anything about your new series? Or is it still a secret?
Well, I'm thinking about... No, it's not, because it's still a project. I'm thinking of setting it in La Jolla. Have you heard about La Jolla?
Oh, yes. It's beautiful, beautiful. My father was stationed
in
San Diego. And he went out to La Jolla all the time. Yeah.
So La Jolla is very popular. Some people don't know other places around San Diego, but La Jolla is very classy, very beautiful. It has a cove, and that place I really like, and I was thinking about writing some cozy mystery in La Jolla Cove, but I don't know if the setting will be a bed and breakfast or a hotel, or maybe a family who has a business and different members of the family. I'm still having a lot of things in my head, because I can create a story in a minute. The thing is that sometimes I can create more than one story, and I don't know, really. It's not that I'm going to keep it a secret, but I'm still making decisions about
it.
So I will have to watch a lot of mystery to get in that mystery mood, because I really like to read about mystery. Without blood or things like that, just some mystery.
So what are some of your favorite mystery writers, or who?
I haven't been reading mystery, but I've been reading Roxane St. Clair, that has some mystery there. Even Catherine Bybee, in some of her novels, in the Bridal series, she has some mystery. And I like that. And I said, wow, this is like a twist. Besides the story, the love story and all that, there is something here that keeps the plot along and keeps the reader like, okay, what is going to happen? And I like that kind of thing. It's like when you read a book with some court thing and the trial and they go to court and then the next step and you cannot stop reading because you need to know what's going to happen. So I want to write something like that.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you've got a ton of material, and you know, what a terrible thing you do for your craft to have to go research in La Jolla and San Diego. I mean, having to go walk around and see all those beautiful restaurants and cafes and write them all down. I'm sure it's just a dreadful research project.
Oh, it is, but it's lovely. And every time friends come to visit and we take them to Coronado, I am a pain in the neck because I say, oh, God, here is where they met. Here is where they go for dinner. Oh, they've been here. My characters have been here. And they smile and they say, oh, how nice. But maybe inside they will say, okay, shut up about you. Because I get so excited. I cannot help it.
You know, what would be a lot of fun is if you went around and did a short little video on that and showed that to your readers, put it on Facebook or Twitter, or even YouTube, and you had that set up to where these are the places that I feature, and you never know, those places might even let you have a book there or two that you could sell.
Oh, that's a great idea because I've taken pictures, but I haven't thought about a video. And actually, when we went with Rich's sister who came to visit, we went to a museum, and then I don't know how the conversation appeared, and my husband gave them my card, and they said, oh, yeah, we sell books here, and this is about the island. This is all about Galveston. Oh my God, Coronado. This is all about Coronado. And please give it to me, and I contact you because we might be able to sell your books here. And I was like, and maybe do a reading or signing event. And I was so excited because I felt like a local, and I'm not a local, but I felt like I belong there. But
thank you
for giving me the idea of a video.
Absolutely, and that's the fun part about books is, you know, people who want to invest that time and sit down and read your stories, which they should, by the way, anybody listening, then it's fun to be the author and then have that conversation, and even in the same places that you've mentioned, it's kind of like you get to step inside the pages and get to sit there for a little bit and escape reality. It's a fun ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I love what I do. I mean, I love teaching and I love my students. I have so many teenagers I see every day and I have fun. But when I'm writing and I get deep into my book, it's like I'm living the story myself. And you know because you write too. So you know the feeling.
Right.
And it is amazing. The research part is great. I can spend hours researching on places and things.
Yes.
And I never saw myself writing romance. Oh, yeah.
Really?
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Yeah, I never saw myself writing romance. I was little, I was writing. I kept a journal all my life, and I was writing short stories, like stories, all of them with mystery, like a mystery in a lighthouse. Most of them had children involved because I was a child, so the characters were always people my age, of course. And I was very creative, and my teachers always told me that I was good at writing. And that was in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But then when I took the Stanford classes, I felt a little bit like, you know, self-conscious because I'm from Spain, and I don't know all the slang, and I still don't understand those rap songs. I don't get it. My husband has to translate for me, and I'm happy he tells me. I don't get it either. I don't know if he's being nice, but the thing is that for me, it was hard. And I was so hard to learn English, and I will never sound like you, but I need to accept that. But you know what happened? My grandmother, and I love to stay with her in Spain, she was reading those novellas, Harley Quinn novellas, and she always had those Harley Quinn novellas. And remember I told you I could read anything because I was always reading. So I started reading those, and I was like, whoa. And I was like, woof, I would never read something like that. But then... you know how it started? It was in Texas. I don't know how it came to my hands, a book by Fern Michaels. You know Fern Michaels?
Yes, yes.
So Fern Michaels had a Texas series, Texas Heat. I started with one of those. I wasn't the first one, and I was fascinated. And then I read the whole series, and I was like, ooh, I like this. This is not like the things my grandmother read in the 80s or 90s. So after that, it was Kristen Higgins who inspired me, like, totally. Once I started with Kristen Higgins, I've been reading everything she wrote. And Catherine Babi has been a great inspiration to. I have a lot of romance authors that have been great inspiration, and now they are friends. And I don't know how it happened, but it happened in the past 4 or 5 years. I'm so grateful, Patricia, really. When I met you that day in San Diego, I really like you and your personality and your laughter. And then we became friends. And I know it hasn't been long, but it feels this romance world is so amazing and so unique. People support each other. People laugh together. People understand each other. I don't know if it's because we are a lot of women except for my husband. But it's really authentic. It's authentic. And the friendships, even if we don't see each other sometimes once a year, are deep, are good. Isn't this great?
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting because, you know, I've had a lot of people say, well, I want to write a book or I want to do this. And I said, you know, you really need to join a writer's organization, and I'll, you know, suggest romance writers, even if you're not, you know, a complete purist romance writer yourself. The support, the teaching of the craft, the teaching of the business of writing, all those things. It's so much to try and learn on your own. It's almost impossible to navigate. So to have those people around you that help guide you in a good direction, you know, I haven't met anyone who was anything but helpful.
Yes, and they're so kind and fun. It's really amazing. Every time I've been to an event, and I haven't been to many other than the RWA and the chapters, I've been to the Barbara Bay, and it's always good, always, always good. I want to go on one of those cruises with a lot of authors, because that's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Teaching. Oh, yeah.
Right.
But the thing is that school is starting in less than 2 weeks, and then I'm committed to my students too, and I have to do all these writer things at weekends and vacation. Good thing teachers have a lot of vacations, so I can do a lot of things during the summer and Christmas and things like that. But I love to write, and I'm so grateful you called me for this. I was nervous, I need to admit, but you have that ability to make me feel comfortable.
Well, I am glad, and I'm so glad you've been able to come on. I know we've been working hard to get you on here, but we had to time it when you weren't teaching.
Yeah, I start on the 17th without students, and then on the 22nd or 23rd with kids. But I still have time to write a few more thousand words of my City Girl.
Well, I am looking forward to reading that for sure. Yeah, I am so looking forward to reading City Girl. It's going to be fantastic. So we have about 2 minutes left. Tell me the best writing advice you ever got and the worst writing advice you ever got. You can do it in about a minute.
Oh, the best advice is, like, don't stop writing. Even if I feel it's hard, even if I have things going on in my life, write. Even if it's 5 minutes per day, but write every day. Write every day. That's the best advice that I've heard repeatedly. Write every day, whether it's 100 words or 1,000 or 2,000, just write. And read also, because when you read, you get inspired. I need to keep reading too. And plus, reading for me is a pleasure. It's a big pleasure.
Right.
Getting back
home. And what's the worst advice you ever got?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, getting back home from school, have a cup of coffee and read for 30 minutes before I go back to do school work, that is a luxury for me.
Oh, for sure, not being interrupted, absolutely. And what's the worst advice you ever got?
I never got any bad advice, because the advice has been by colleagues and other authors, and no, I don't think I got any bad advice, or I don't think about it now. I cannot remember. How can a romance writer give a bad advice? That's not possible.
Not possible. Well, I so appreciate you coming on today, Ms. Sylvie. If you've been listening, to Sylvie Martin. If you want to find her on her website, she's SILVIMARTIN.com. She also has her Facebook and Twitter, and she's on Amazon. Her books, The Post Girl, The News Girl, and then coming out in the fall, The City Girl, will be out. But Post Girl and News Girl are available now. So grab it on your Book Lovers Day, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. It's been so much fun to talk to you. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
This show brought
Absolutely.
To you by
and
Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.